Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. Well, here's my question for you to kick off our conversation, and I think I probably know the answer. Do you battle through the night hours? Do you battle through the night hours? Is your sleep fitful, or is it restful? Is there a promise in Scripture for God's people regarding sleep? Well, yes, the answer is yes. And we've got an interesting show for you today. My guest is Faith Blatchford. She joins me to talk about her book, Winning the Battle for the Night, God's Plan for Sleep, Dreams, and Revelation. We'll get to that in just a moment. A couple quick announcements for you. As you know, Faith Radio is growing by leaps and bounds. We're so grateful. We're thankful to God and thankful to you, our friends, for your financial and prayerful support. So if you don't mind, I just got to give a shout out to new friends listening in, tuning in one of our new FM markets, 94.1 FM in Hartford, or 93.1 FM in Waterloo, or 104.7 FM in Madison, one of the two FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7, 97.5, or maybe you're streaming online, but however you're joining us, I want to say welcome. Welcome to the Faith Radio family. And we have a tradition on Live the Promise when we've got new listeners from new markets. If you would email me, susie@myfaithradio.com, put new listener in the subject line, remind me of, or tell me your mailing address. I'll draw a couple of names. I do that every week and pick out some books off of our Faith Radio shelf as our way of saying welcome to the family. Thanks so much for letting us encourage you in your faith journey. Also, we've got a free book, an e-book, I should say, from Truth for Life Ministries with Alistair Begg. And this book explores the depths of Christ's majesty and his identity. And I would love to get that into your hands. All you have to do is get on our website, myfaithradio.com, request that free e-book. It also comes with a study guide. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Faith Blatchford has a Bachelor of Arts in Religion from Vassar College. She serves as an ordained pastoral counselor at Bethel Church in Redding, California. She's also a regional facilitator at large, the International Bethel Sozo Network. She spends more than half the year speaking at conferences and seminars around the world, as well as meeting with leaders to provide personal counseling and creative coaching. Dear Faith, so nice to meet you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Susie. Joy to be here.
Now, I'd love to have you as well. And we love to start every day, Faith, talking Scripture. Your name's perfect for this, by the way.
Yes.
If you've got a verse you've been thinking about these days, you can share with us.
Yes, I think this is a promise for everybody. I mean, I don't think there's a listener, including myself, who isn't touched by this. And it's Proverbs 3:24, and this is a promise from our Father. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet.
Amazing verse. Talk about what that means to you.
Well, you know, I think that the obviously, because of my book, I've been doing so much thinking about sleep and nighttime and realizing just statistically how many people do not lie down in peace. They lie down in fear. And so this promise from God, it is a promise that just gives so much hope, that there is hope for every person who lies down at night and is afraid. There's a promise that that doesn't have to be your testimony. Your testimony can be, I can lie down and I don't have to be afraid, that I can actually sleep in peace.
You know, it reminds me, and I reference often this passage from Psalms where it talks about that the Israelites refused to believe God's promise for them. So they stayed in their tents and grumbled and then refused to obey the Lord. So on one hand, they refused to believe there was a promise written over their life. So they settled down into their circumstance and then they grumbled. And I wonder how often, Faith, we do the same thing where there's places in our lives that we can contend for a freedom that God has, contend for a promise, but we never consider for a moment that this is ours for the taking if we will engage with God and even align our lives with him, you know?
Yes, I mean, I think the whole issue of sleep and insomnia, which becomes such a prison for so many people. And it's interesting and it's encouraging that even Job, one of the things he talked about in Job 7 is he talked about lying on his bed, tossing till dawn. And yet by the end of his story, in the end of Job, he was talking about all the ways that God had restored his life, and he talks about sleep and what God does in terms of dreams and visions and instruction in the night. So he is the testimony in the scripture of somebody who experienced insomnia, and God brought hope to him in the night.
I'm sorry, I thought you were finished. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. It's just there is hope.
Amen. And I was just going to say, I've struggled with sleep my whole life since childhood, but now in the last several years, I've been fighting for it, doing everything I can to create space so that I can get sleep. I'm sleeping better than I have, but I'm still not where I believe God has for me. So I include we when I say this, friends, who I'm talking about, and millions of people suffer with insomnia and the effects of it. In the book, though, you write about two men who dreamed significant dreams, and we're going to get into some of the logistics of good sleep and why that's a gift from the Lord. But if you don't mind, tell Joseph's story and the story about one of our past presidents.
Well, are we talking about Joseph in the Old Testament?
Yes, Joseph and Mary, yes. How God used a dream, and then, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, and this is the thing that's so important for us to understand, that God spoke to people in dreams in the Bible, but he's still speaking. And so many people have been robbed. And what if the dreams that we're having are actually from God, some of them, not all of them, and the impact if we would follow through on it? And what if Joseph, who had the dream about taking Mary and baby Jesus into another country for safety, what if he hadn't listened to God's voice in that dream? And that Jesus, I mean, I'm sure God would have protected Jesus, but Herod was out to kill every baby that had been born because he was afraid of competition in terms of the government. And if Joseph hadn't been trained to believe that God spoke through dreams, history would have been different. And the same is true, the story that is based on a true story of a dream that Abraham Lincoln had when he was president. And he had a dream in which he was killed, and he saw the catafalque, he saw the weeping people over the casket, and yet, although he knew the Bible talked about dreams, people had dreams in the Bible, when he had a conversation with his wife about this dream, she was very disturbed, and she said, well, do you believe in dreams? And he said, no. And so his assistant had told him, when Lincoln shared the dream with the assistant said, Mr. President, please be careful. And the assistant was going out of town, so he didn't have much time to actually make sure that the president tried to stay safe. And so the president went to the theater that night and was assassinated. So, and it was right at the time that the Civil War had ended, and Lincoln had a plan for bringing the nation back together. What if he had actually believed God was speaking to him, and he protected himself and had lived? You know, the question is, would our country be in a better place? Would there have been more healing of the racial divide that we're experiencing even today?
I was going to say the scars definitely still exists. Wow.
Yeah.
How does a person discern if a dream is something the Lord is using to speak to them, or just a kind of a compilation of our random thoughts?
Well, I kind of boil it down, and I have four tests. And one is the peace test. Does the dream bring me peace? Number two, the scripture test. Is there a basis in scripture for this dream being from God. Number three is the witness test. Do I get a, you know, just a confirmation in my spirit? Okay, I don't understand this, but I have a sense this is from God. Or if I share it with somebody else that's a respected person in my life who's a believer, and I say, I had this dream, what do you think? And they say, well, you know, I don't know what it all means, but I just sense I get a peace, and I sense this is from God. And then the fourth test is the fruit test. And that is, if this dream played out, if I heeded the dream, if I prayed into it or held on to it, valued it, would it produce good fruit?
Mm.
Would it produce community? Would it produce an advancement of the kingdom of God? Would it produce greater strength and freedom and healing in my own life? So those are the four things: peace, scriptural confirmation, witness confirmation, and fruit.
Interesting, very interesting. So even in the case of getting a cautionary, receiving a cautionary dream, a warning, if you heed it and you pray or you intercede for leaders or whatever that caution is, that would bear fruit. It seems too that when you have a dream that you remember clearly, where I don't know, there's times I wake up and I go, I write things down because it was so vivid and so clear. Where other times I could tell it was a mishmash of just random thoughts from the previous days. But, wow, pretty interesting. I'm going to pause here and take a break. Talking to Faith Blatchford. Her book is titled Winning the Battle for the Night, God's Plan for Sleep, Dreams, and Revelation. Got three copies. Would love to get a copy into your hands. We're doing it a new way, remember now. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget the mailing address and put Battle for the Night or Sleep or something like that in the subject line so we know this is the book that you're vying for. When we come back, we'll talk more about why so many struggle with insomnia. What are some of the common denominators for those who battle in this way? Don't go away. More great conversation when we return. Is old and great. I never can get enough of it. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Faith Blatchford about her book, Winning the Battle for the Night, God's Plan for Sleep, Dreams, and Revelation. And Faith, you know, millions of people struggle with sleep issues, partly because of our fast-paced lifestyle, our diet, but also the enemy strategically targets those night hours. He knows if he can rob us of our sleep, he can rob us pretty much all day long. Love for you to expound on that point.
Yes. I mean, when you realize the lack of teaching that most of us have had about sleep. I mean, I ask believers and non-believers alike, have you ever heard in church a message on sleep? And no, and everyone says, no, no way. And yet we spend a third of our life, we're supposed to, sleeping. And the fact that God actually designed our body with something called the circadian clock that regulates sleep and awakeness, and yet two-thirds of the people in the U.S. don't get enough sleep for one reason or another. And I think the enemy knows God's purpose for the night for his kids. And he designed us with this clock that says, time to go to bed. And he also designed the day, according to Genesis, the evening and the morning were the first day. So God's intent is that the first 8 hours of our day is to be his. Well, the enemy, I think, knows that. And so he is the great sleep disruptor and robber. And I think one of the ways that he does it is through fear. Because there are so many people, I think 90% of the people who suffer from insomnia have anxiety issues as well. And so fear of the dark, fear of the night because bad things happen to people at night, and fear of criminal activity, You think about the prayer that many children grew up with, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake," you know, that prayer. I know people who heard that prayer as a child and literally sat up in bed because mm-hmm. they were afraid they were going to die in their sleep. So the use of fear to train children, discipline children, tease children, the enemy has capitalized on that. And so the number of people who sleep with the light on and who are afraid of the dark, that is all the enemy's tactic to rob us of, and to rob God of the time that he intends to have intimate connection, conversation, downloads, restoration of mind, body, emotions of his children.
Yeah. You even think about, even if the person's not afraid of the dark, once they lie down, their brain doesn't slow down because of the insane pace of our day and the accumulation of anxious thoughts, right? I mean, you could be laying there going, okay, I'm not afraid of the dark, but I cannot turn my brain off. I mean, that's an issue too, isn't it?
Yes, and I think when you think about how much time we actually spend and money in preparing for our day, you know, what kind of coffee and what kind of percolator, coffee pot, pour over, tea, all that stuff, we spend a great deal of time and money about preparing for the day. But how much time do we spend preparing for the night? And I think that that would change our sleep if we actually made preparation and took some of these unresolved issues of our day and dealt with them with our Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit, before we actually turn out the light.
And we're going to talk in practical ways on how to do that here in a moment. But I want you to tell your story as far as you weren't somebody who for whom sleep came easily. You were someone who maybe got by with a few hours a night, it seemed. So I want to know how God helped you get your night hours back.
Yes, I was one of the many millions of people who don't sleep, not because of insomnia, but because they choose not to sleep. And I thought sleep was for babies and old people.
Sorry.
And I was really quite arrogant, and I didn't say it out loud, but I had a housemate who needed 8 or 9 hours of sleep, and she worked in the same, ran a Christian school, and she was one of the teachers, so I couldn't say anything because if she didn't get enough sleep, she got migraines, and then that fell on me to fill her spot. So, but in my heart, I thought, you know, grow up. So for me, it was the hook that God had for me is that many of my friends had these incredible God dreams. I mean, just amazing. And I'd been a Christian all my life and followed God, been in ministry, and I thought, I don't have dreams. And, you know, I'm more spiritual than they are. I've been a Christian longer. So why don't I have dreams? And I bought all the books and all the things, you know, relative to dreams. I still didn't have dreams. So I was sharing my heart with a friend, and she laughed. And I thought, you know, I'm being vulnerable here. And she laughed, and she said, "Faith, you don't sleep enough to dream." And suddenly I thought, oh, there's a connection. But I still had to be convinced by God. And, I mean, this was only about 8 years ago, so I'm new to this whole sleep realm. And I began to study about sleep because I had to be convinced that it was not a waste of time for me to sleep 7 or 8 hours when there were so many things I could be doing that I wanted to do.
I got to jump in, Faith. Were you not feeling physical ramifications of your lack of sleep?
No, not at all.
How is that possible? That's amazing. Wow. So keep going. Sorry.
Well, you know, that's the thing is that there are other people, and there are even articles, unfortunately, about the fact that there's some belief that some people actually don't need a lot of sleep, high energy, high functioning people. And so, you know, there were no negative side effects that I was aware of, and unfortunately. So I continued on in my lack of sleep for many, many years, but I have changed my tune, and my alarm clock or my clock is set differently, and I'm enjoying the benefit of that. But it took a long time.
Hmm. You know, I've got a friend, author friend, Laura Harris-Smith, who is, you know, and I'm that way too, a high taskmaster, but I have to get my sleep just because of some other health things. But she was like that too, getting 3 hours, 4 hours, and then she ended up with stage 3 adrenal fatigue, where one by one, system started to fail and fall apart. And so I feel like what you're saying even about you is a rarity, because most people are dealing with all kinds of symptoms that they don't know that they could trace back to insomnia or lack of quality sleep, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. And in my book, I really want to focus not on bringing fear into people's lives, that, oh my gosh, I'm not getting sleep, so I'm going to get this or get that,
right,
or get the other. Because in the midst, and in the book, I talk about the fact that I had to ask my body to forgive me for robbing it. And I believe very strongly in the fact that God heals today. He still heals. That wasn't like dreams. That wasn't just in the past. He is the healer. And Jesus died on the cross and bore all of our sins and our sicknesses and our grief and our pain. That's in Isaiah. So when I talk about sleep and the need for sleep, I'm careful to balance it, because I don't want to use the scare tactic, the fear tactic, to make people change their routine.
Yeah,
I want them to know, no matter what, God heals.
And I love that, and I so appreciate that as well, because fear is never a good motivator for the Christ follower. And what I liked in your book about just the grace, that we would ask for the grace for the ways we've done it wrong, Lord, forgive us and show us a better way, because you're inviting us to something so much better. We've got a hard break coming up now, but just tell me, just in a few words, what your sleep is like now. I mean, you sleep deeply for a full night, basically?
I sleep. My goal is 7 hours minimum, and the challenge is still a challenge when I'm traveling to make that happen, and if it doesn't happen, to make sure I make up for it, although that's not the best plan. But it's different because now that is my goal. That is what I'm going to achieve, whereas before I didn't care.
Yeah, you got a new standard. And when you come back, you can even talk about just the aspect of dreaming as well. Okay, we're going to talk more about what happens, how to set the stage for a good night's sleep. There are things you can do before you even go to bed to kind of switch gears. Talking to Faith Blatchford about winning the battle for the night. 3 copies, love to get one into your hands. Enter the drawing this way. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Faith Blatchford about her book, Winning the Battle for the Night, God's Plan for Sleep, Dreams, and Revelation. And you know what? What if hope made a comeback as it relates to our sleep? What if we started to believe again that not only could we get restful, healing sleep? I mean, when you get into that deep sleep, muscles are repaired, your immunities are boosted, but also you would wake up fresh and rested. I mean, what if we started to trust God and align our lives with Him in such a way that we can experience that night after night? And Faith, let's talk about just ways we can set the stage. As you were saying before the break, you know, we talk about how our minds don't even shut down because we kind of go 0 to 60 and then we try to go to zero and it doesn't happen so well. Just before we even go to bed, what are some ways we can set the stage to get ready for bed?
Well, there are practical ways, which I'll identify a few of those. I lay it out in much greater detail in the book. But one of the things on the spiritual side, which I think is equally important, if not the most important, is this whole issue that Paul talks about in Ephesians 4, verse 26, when he says, "Don't go to bed angry." you give a foothold to the devil. And I think this is one of the most important principles of good sleep, is to go to bed without anger. And the word nightmare actually means night demon.
Wow.
And so when we go to bed angry and we're giving a foothold, an open door, I think it's like sending a big spotlight up into the atmosphere, that instead of calling all angels, we're actually calling all demons to give us nightmares. And this is a principle that Jesus talked about in Matthew 18 when he talks, there's a great chapter on forgiveness. And the man who'd been forgiven, you know, in today's economy, maybe $1 million, and then he turns around, tries to get 10 out of somebody else, and the one who'd forgiven him the million said, what are you doing? I've forgiven you, and now you're trying to get 10 bucks? You are going to go to jail, and you're going to be turned over to the tormentors because you haven't forgiven. Tormentors, that's the word that describes in olden days when people were being tortured, the person who actually administered the torture on the torture rack, where your legs and arms are pulled apart from your body, that's the tormentors. So forgiveness is a really big foundational aspect of the Christian life, which people, I think, don't often understand what it means. It doesn't mean, yeah, do it to me again. It doesn't mean what happened doesn't matter. It just means I am turning my case over to God. I get out of his seat of judgment, and I turn the case over to him. So I tell people, my philosophy or my practice at night is called brush and flush. And that means I'm in the bathroom, and most of us stand at the sink, and we have a mirror, and we are, you know, brushing and seeing our face in the mirror. And as we do the brushing, to ask God, is there anybody I need to forgive? And some people say, well, I'm not an angry person. Well, you know, maybe you're hurt, something. It doesn't have to be rage, but something where there was an offense. You say, God, is there anybody I need to forgive? And a name pops up, and you may see your name, because most of us struggle sometimes more with unforgiveness and anger towards ourselves than towards other people. So when that name shows up or that picture in the mirror, then you say, God, I forgive. I release that person from all resentment, bitterness, judgment. And as you do, then just to put an exclamation point, flush the toilet. And so when you go to bed, you are not carrying anger, an offense that is going to give an open door to the enemy.
You know what's so interesting, Faith, on that? We have a doctor on once a month. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And he does talk about what happens physiologically. When you're in anger, when you're in angst, anxiety, any of those things, you put your cells basically in fight flight, which really changes the sleep pattern at night. And it can just even physiologically put you in a place of fitful sleep and nightmares. So God has made us so fearfully and wonderfully made in our physical and spiritual body is so integrated. So that makes so much sense. And how about even, like, you know, practical things like turning off the TV, taking an Epsom salt bath? I mean, creating space, between work and rest.
Yes, I think one of the most fascinating things about the design of our body, you know, every year we discover more and more about God through medical science. And this year, the Nobel Prize for Medicine was just awarded recently, and it was awarded to three Americans who had done research, and their research was on the circadian clock, which is what regulates the sleep and awake cycle in our body. And so I was doing a little more study on it, and basically what God designed in our body is that our eye notices and registers when it begins to get dark and sends a message to our brain, okay, it's time to sleep. And the body then releases the chemical melatonin into our body, which increases, enhances sleep. So this eye gate, which is the register for it's time to go to bed, is very disrupted and confused because of all the light that comes from our phones, our smartphones, our iPads, the computer, the TV screen, which many people don't realize that the, at least on the iPhone, if you go to the settings and you go to display and brightness, there is a setting called night shift. And you can actually click on that and you can set the time when you want your phone, the light on your phone, to change to a different tint so that it is not as disruptive to your eye registering whether it's time to go to sleep or time to get up. So that is a really simple thing to disengage from technology, partly because the way it disrupts our circadian clock, our the thing that God put in us to say, okay, time for bed. And technology, as wonderful it is, as it is, and I have every gadget imaginable, but I've learned, put it on the night shift setting and put your phone to bed in another room and put it to bed before you go to bed. I mean, some people recommend an hour, 2 hours before going to bed, disconnect from all the media, TV, iPhones, iPad, computer.
So interesting. So good. What do you say, Faith, to the person listening today who struggles, who wants this so bad, but can't sleep without sleeping pills, can't even imagine getting good sleep just because they've never experienced it? Maybe what are some other practical things they can do to get to that place?
Well, I think one is the connection with God. Because, and you know, that may say, well, that's pretty basic. Well, you know, life is really quite simple. If children can connect with God and have God encounters, anybody can. And so God is the factor in all of this, that we have to start with the one who started it all and find out from him, you know, what is it in my life? What lies am I believing? What fears do I have? What offenses do I have? What do I personally, because one size doesn't fit all. And I need to know from my Heavenly Father, what do I need to change to get a better night's sleep? You know, parents are the ones who regulate or are supposed to regulate for their children, their routines, what they eat, when they go to bed. And we are always, in God's eyes, seen as little children. And we need to connect as little children with our daddy and say, what do I need to do? What do I need to change in my life? And, I mean, for me, I used to go to bed with Law and Order on, a crime show. And that was my winding down. The TV on. And I'm sure Father God got really bored because it, you know, year after year and the reruns, he's probably thinking, we've seen this. So, you know,
sorry.
We've seen this. We saw this 3 years ago. But that to me is the start of it. And then you begin to identify areas in your mind that need to be attended to. Lies and fears, you attend to things in the natural realm that need to be attended to, you know, environment, room temperature, lights, activities before you go to bed, food issues, all of those. And then the spiritual dimension of it is having an expectation. You know, people who have had insomnia or people who think it's more productive to stay up for hours, they need to understand from the scripture the power of what God wants to download at night. You know, there are inventions. There are things that God gave to people in a dream. Albert Einstein is one. He got the final piece. piece of the theory of relativity. He got it in a dream. Now, he was not a Christian. He wasn't someone who talked about God all the time. But one of his quotes is, "I want to know God's thoughts. Everything else, it's just details." So God said, "Okay, Albert, hey, I'll help you." And the man who discovered the design of DNA, he was one of the co-founders of that, James Watson, he got the design of our DNA, the double helix design, he got that through a dream.
You know, Scripture says, "Even at night, my heart instructs me." Can you think of a time, Faith, when you went to bed and you woke up and you had a revelation of something from God, direction for your life, something you were wondering about that you had a peace about? I'd love to know.
Actually, it's almost every day. I mean, I know that sounds amazing, but I don't get a lot of dreams, you know, where I have pictures and visions of things. I have more visions in the daytime from God, if that makes sense. But at night, I'm not aware of dreams, but I am aware that I get up in the morning and I have my time with God, and I get these downloads for talks, for messages, for books, for products, for all kinds of things. And I record myself now every time I speak, because invariably I've prepared, I've studied, and I'm giving the teaching or the seminar, and suddenly I say something that I have never thought of, never read about, never heard, and I don't record myself out of arrogance. I record myself because I want to have a record of what God has revealed to me as I'm speaking. And that to me, you know, when you think about Joseph in the Old Testament, now it wasn't his dream, it was Pharaoh's dream, but Joseph interpreted it. And that was a 14-year economic plan that saved several nations. What about people who go to bed with the expectation, maybe God wants to give me an economic plan, maybe for my family, but what about for my company? What about for my city council? What about for some place that I have a voice in politics or in education? And that is, we have to train people to give them this sense that, yes, sleep is for your body, yes, it's for your mind, but even more, it's this spiritual connection. And that's what Job said in Job 33. He said, "God speaks in dreams and visions of the night. When deep sleep falls on people, then he opens their ears and seals their instruction."
Wow, may that be the case for each and every one of us. Don't you want that? Maybe start praying. Check out Faith's book. We've got 3 copies, Winning the Battle for the Night, God's Plan for Sleep, Dreams, and Revelation. Would love to get your name in on the drawing. Just do it this way. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. That's email. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put sleep or battle for the night in the subject line and remember your mailing address. Now, when we come back, we're going to walk through some of the benefits of getting good, consistent sleep night after night. Yes, even at night, he instructs us. There are other benefits to guarding and protecting and nurturing a great, healthy sleep life. I'm just excited about this topic. More with Faith Blatchford when we come back. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise, talking to Faith Blatchford. She's the author of the book, Winning the Battle for the Night, God's Plan for Sleep, Dreams, and Revelation. And a couple other maybe just pieces of advice that may help you. Check out taking some magnesium at night. Maybe put lavender oil on the bottoms of your feet. That actually does help. Those Epsom salt baths are fantastic for detoxing your body. Would love now to talk, Faith, about just some of the benefits of good, consistent sleep that you outline in the book. One is increased sleep and duration. may increase your lifespan. Say a word about that.
Well, I think it's because of the repairing of the body that takes place at night while we're asleep. I mean, this God is the most amazing creator and designer, and we're discovering through medical science and research more and more and more about the intricacy of the body and the brain and how this connection between brain and body repairs all the different systems. There is a lot of research that's going on. I mean, medical science, it's like the new frontier in terms of research on the brain. And one of the studies that is gaining interest is about this decluttering of the brain and a kind of washing machine effect where negative proteins are washed out. Some of those negative harmful proteins which have an effect on people's brain in terms of Alzheimer's. So this, you know, the definitive study hasn't been done yet, but even the thought, what if sleep is something that is going to be one of the benefits and the deterrent to Alzheimer's, which people are so afraid of. Another is the inflammation that's reduced in the body as we sleep. And inflammation is one of the major factors in some of the diseases that we are dealing with today. Mm-hmm. And so at night, this inflammation is reduced in the body. And with, you know, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a scientist, so I kind of have the basic, you know, kindergarten level understanding of all these medical things, but it's enough to get me excited and to convince me, okay, need to make changes, need to work on sleep.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, one of my books is called Your Sacred Yes, but just on the sloppy yes about just not numbering our days or noting that our moments are a gift from God and just sort of giving our yeses away without realizing the cost. And talking about not only is that not sustainable, it's actually dangerous to our spiritual health. And I interviewed a number of people, Faith, and it was interesting how key leaders, people who had never any intention of stepping out on God's call, through a series of shortcuts because of overcommitment and lack of sleep in those unrealized moments of vulnerability, made a choice they never otherwise would and fell morally or whatever. But the implications of running tired and wired are so significant, I don't even think we realize. So you make more mistakes. You don't comprehend things when you're exhausted. On the flip side, as you noted in the book, you actually have a better capacity for learning and performing and engaging in life, right?
Yes, and that's the RAND Corporation, which the business world is very familiar with. They did a study and found that last year businesses lost a cumulative total of $411 billion because of the sleep deficits of their employees in terms of absenteeism, critical mistakes, lack of productivity, lack of innovation and creativity. And it was all, it's all about sleep. And they're finding this in terms of the athletic performance. Studies have been done where one team is required to get up for the, you know, 6 a.m. practice before the game that night. Another team gets to sleep. And the team that slept produced better, had a better performance on the basketball court than the team that got up at 6. And they were equally ranked before these studies were done. So, I mean, it's such a simple solution to so many issues. And on the level of impacting our culture and our society with the creativity and the innovative ideas, I mean, so many inventions came through a dream at night, and I can't stress that enough, because our society, you know, we're really running out of solutions, and we're gaining in the problems that we need to solve. And could it be that as simple as sleep and a connection to God and getting the downloads could change our world.
Boy, amen. This is so in the lane, Faith, of what we've been talking about on the show, about we're just so addicted to treating symptoms and rather than getting to the root cause. And I don't mean this in any judgment or condemnation. This is always about invitation. But the idea of monster drinks in the morning and sleeping pills at night to continue just to get up, get down, get up, get it. Eventually your world will close in on you. And you think about that mindset of getting to the moment versus what you just said, saying, I want to be a part of the solution for what's going on in this kingdom story today. For that reason, I'm going to get my land back so I can start to sleep and so I can listen and hear what God would say. I mean, it's such an inspiration. Well, before I ask you to pray, I'm going to read. You've got so many great prayers in the book. I want to read this prayer, and I got one more question for you, then we can pray. But this is from Faith's book, Winning the Battle for the Night. She writes, Father, thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Forgive me for any time that I've not taken care of my body by not giving it enough time to rest. I receive your forgiveness. Body, forgive me for any time I've blamed you for hindering me from sleeping. Thank you, Father, that I don't need to fear the repercussions of lack of sleep because you're the God who heals and restores. I commit my days and nights to you, as well as my body, trusting in your loving care. I love that because it just gives such hope that God can redeem and restore all of it. And Faith, one last just word that you have, your hope for those who read your book. What are you praying that they'll take away?
I'm praying that they'll take away the excitement and wonder of an opportunity of spending the night with a loving Heavenly Father. And Zephaniah talked about the fact that God sings over us. Now, He has so many thoughts towards us daily, they can't even be counted. And He's a singer, and He has a song to sing over us. And I don't think He just sings the same song, because He's always talking about new songs. And the picture to me of a loving Father cradling us as His children and singing lullabies over us, singing songs of promise, singing songs of destiny over us. Because music is a very powerful instrument in terms of our mind, body, soul, spirit. And God uses song to instruct us and to heal us and encourage us. And so this invitation to, you know, go to bed being hugged by God and hugging Him and listening as He sings lullabies over us.
So beautiful. Will you pray for that person who's listening, who longs for exactly that? Would you pray for them?
Father, I thank You that Your heart is beating for all of Your children to find that place of safety and security. Thank You that You own the night, that they can, each one of us can go to bed and sleep in peace because You never sleep. You're always awake. You're watching over us and protecting us as a loving Father. And may every listener experience the Father's love and safety and security in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, amen. Faith, thank you for the time and for inspiring such hope in all of us. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Susie.
Talking to Faith Blatchford today, title of her book is Winning the Battle for the Night, God's Plan for Sleep, Dreams, and Revelation. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I mean, who doesn't need sleep? This is one of those times I'm asking you, be a radio missionary. We've made our shows very shareable. With a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Somebody needs to hear what Faith had to say today. And finally, remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who keep you strong to the end. Have a great day and sleep super well tonight. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.